Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good, always good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard. Ooh, busy, busy week in the business of sports. We got everything going on. We got, other than maybe the Super Bowl, the second largest event. Well, maybe throwing Olympics in there. The second largest annual event, for sure, in March Madness. So somebody's making a ton of money over these next 2 weeks. It's not me, but definitely the NCAA making a ton of money. And the kids who are doing all the work aren't making any. But they do get their tuition paid. So we'll talk about that in another show. So much going on. You got NBA. You got just all over. You know what? Why don't we do this? Let's jump right into our pay attention topic for this week. Well, like I said, pay attention topic. There's so many topics to choose from. I don't even know where to start. But one thing that I think is kind of out there and people may or may not be paying attention to it, but it's over in the NHL. Of course, my beloved Washington Capitals, 45 and 17, eight of those wins in overtime, 98 points overall. They're in first place in the Metropolitan. But here's the pay attention topic is their nemesis, the Pittsburgh Penguins, coming right up on them. The Penguins have 97 points. So basically what the Penguins are saying is, hey, we'll let you get a couple wins in the series in the early rounds. But in order to get to the Stanley Cup, you're still going to have to come through us. And the Caps have not been able to do it. So we could talk about that for 15, 20 minutes easily. But nope. Not going to do that. Guess why? Because in that other sport, the NBA, my beloved Washington Wizards, 42-26, coming off a real tough road stretch. Home for a couple games. And legs looking a little weary. Gutted one out last night. Got a really tough 10-game stretch here. Going back on the road. Going back out west. It's going to be tough for the Wiz, but right now, you got Cleveland in first in the East, Boston second, and the Wiz Kids third. So that means they're still going to have to get through, you know, perhaps a Toronto team, a Celtic team, and a Cavalier team to get to the NBA Finals. Good luck with that. Good luck. So I think this next 10 games, though, will tell a lot about how tough this team is. Otto Porter took a bump last night and gutted it out. Made it through the game. So they are showing some mental toughness. So, hey, maybe they've matured. We'll see. That is not the pay attention topic. Next pay attention topic. So we'll have Super Referee Craig Muckle on later in the hour, talk about all things March Madness. But I just, you know, easily could talk about one thing. Georgetown head basketball coach. Haven't heard a peep. Nothing. Nothing said. No writer writing anything. I don't hear anything on other sports talk radio stations. Well, why are people afraid to talk about this topic? The guy has a losing record for the second year in a row, and nobody wants to talk about it. So I'm just saying, you know, he's paid very handsomely. This is a top-flight university. And if you look, go ask Tom Crean what it feels like. Tom Crean's at Indiana, took Bobby Knight's place, did a great job, yada, yada. Indiana said, you're fired. And you know why? They said, He just didn't win enough games. The guy won 20 games a year. He didn't win enough games on the national scene. So Tom Crean would be great at Georgetown. He really would. So I don't know what's going on. And, oh, by the way, that won't be our pay attention topic. But while we're on the topic of local hoops, crickets again. First of all, when did VCU become a local team? It's 2.5 hours away. In traffic, it's 3 hours. When did UVA become a local team? Again, 2.5 hours away. Not sure how they're a local, but UVA's still in it. I got them bowing out today. No, actually, I got them winning today at Florida, but they'll lose to Nova when it's all said and done. But Mount St. Joe's, all these people, Mount St. Mary's, whoever they are, out. I mean, these teams are all done, but, boy, didn't Maryland look bad those last couple games. They looked bad in the ACC tournament. They looked bad towards the end of the regular season. And everyone was saying, oh, if they go to the Big Ten, they'll dominate. Well, that hasn't happened yet. So I don't know what's going on over there. I mean, they got talented guys. I don't know. They got a great coach, Coach Turgeon. I don't know what's going on over there, but they just didn't seem to have a fire. You know, quite honestly, I wonder, are they better without Mello Tremble? I think maybe the fact that, you know, the NBA looming over his, you know, he's going to drop that news any day now. I mean, maybe they, I don't know. We'll see. But that is not the pay attention topic. Today's pay attention topic is way back, probably the 6th or 7th page of the sports page, probably in the middle of the night, repeated on Comcast Sportsnet, on Redskins Nation. But here's what it is. Ricky Jean Francois. Yeah. Number 99 for the Redskins. They cut him this week. That was no big surprise. I mean, he's a backup defensive lineman. He was going to cost them $4 million. They get to save $3 million of that. So because they cut him late, they had to give him $1 million. Okay, I get that. He only started 6 games, and he had 1.5 sacks. That doesn't equal $4 million. So, Ricky Jean Francois, your peanut butter jelly dance, bye-bye. But you know what, though? I like the guy. I mean, I thought he was a good locker room guy, always out in the community. Matter of fact, no one put more hours in the community other than Ricky Jean Francois and Pierre Garçon. Nobody. It wasn't even close. So for a guy like that, you try and work it out with him. So you knew you already had to give him $1 million. Just try and restructure his contract. Maybe, you know, give him 2.5. No one else is going to pick him up anyway. So, you know, maybe he takes that. He's a good role player. He comes in on third down. If you get some injuries along the way, you know. Now, you know, here's why this is a pay attention topic. I'm going to read you this quote that Ricky G. Francois said the day before he got cut. Quote, "It seems like we're getting back to the norm, back to drama and dysfunction." End of quote. Ricky's over 30 years old. Matter of fact, I think he is 30 on the dot. Ricky, you should be mature enough to know that you don't talk about your boss behind his back because he's going to fire you. Yeah, there's an authority in all things, and so you can't do that. So the Skins are saying now, well, you know, he was, you know, over 30. He was going to cost us $4 million. Well, guess what? They turned right around and re-signed Ziggy Hood, who, by the way, is over 30. I'm sure Ziggy Hood is not playing for $1 million. I'm sure it's closer to 4 than 1. So, you know, they went out, they got some free agent guys. They got Stacy McGee. They got Terrell McClain. These are no-name free agents. I don't think they're going to make any impact on the team. Matter of fact, I wonder, will they make the team? Because if they draft some young kids, say they draft a kid from Alabama. Let's say he slides all the way down, they draft him. Well, then these guys won't even make the team. But here's the kicker. Ricky Jean Francois was drafted in 2005. By the San Francisco 49ers. Any guess who drafted him? You got it. Scotty Mack. Scott McLuhan drafted Ricky Jean Francois in 2005. So, Where was Scott McLuhan when this quote was made? He was fired. See, that's the way the whole conversation went. So, Ricky Jean, what do you think about Scott McLuhan being fired? And then that's the way he answered it. Ricky, Ricky, Ricky. Tricky Ricky. You cannot do that. Keep your mouth shut. Say you got no comment. You got to get that money, man. You're a good player. I wish you were still here. All you have to do is keep your big mouth shut. No, you have to say what's actually true, which is, looks like we're getting back to drama and dysfunction. Every week the Redskins got something new. They got something going on where, it, you know, it's just this guy Tony Wiley, the PR guy. I wish he would call me. I don't know anything about public relations, but here's what I do know. They've made so many gaffes since he was hired. I mean, it's actually gotten worse to me. So I don't know. I think an intern could do better. I mean, it's really, really bad. So not sure what's going on over at Redskin Park. I do know that they're starting to get their guys in. They got DJ Swearinger. And, you know, DJ's a serviceable player. He plays, you know, plays safety for the Cardinals, did a decent job. So, you know, looking, we'll see what happens with that. Fat Rob's already starting to, you know, talk to the media about competition and this, that, and the other. He's going to have some competition. First of all, they should draft a running back. They got to draft a running back. They got to. But they also got to, you know, I like Mac Brown in his little bit of time last year. He did a great job for the Skins, and so did, you know, let's not forget, Matt Jones, they drafted him real high. He's still a young player. Maybe something was off last year. I don't know. Maybe he was injured. I don't know. But I don't think Matt Jones done. To be honest, I'm glad they're holding on to him. So Fat Rob better not come to minicamp fat. Better not come to training camp fat. Because if so, that spot's going to be easily taken. Maurice Harris, I saw a little story on him this weekend at wideout. You know, he's another one that's maturing, already looking bigger. He's clearly more confident in the offense. And I think the fact that Deshaun and Pierre are gone, I think you're going to see something from that kid. I think he's a heck of a talent, and he just probably needs a chance. Same thing with Ryan Grant. So we'll see what happens. But man, poor Ricky Jean. You just can't go there. On the defensive side of the ball now, what are we going to do? Now that we've lost Ricky Jean, Francois, what are we going to do now? We've got a bunch of new guys on D-line. We lost Swaggy. We've got to have Swaggy. So the good thing is Coach Minuski, former Super Bowl champion with the Redskins, he's going to be calling the defense. Coach Minuski's a real pressure guy, and that's my defensive philosophy. You got to always pressure the quarterback. So he'll do that, I think, more than the past couple of coordinators have done. I think that Sua Creighton, teaming him up in the secondary with DJ Swearinger, I think you're going to have some headhunters. I think people will be afraid to come over the middle. So if you're putting pressure on, you know, that should be pretty interesting. Now, I'm curious to see what D. Hall will do over on the defense. Will he, you know, stay at free safety and compete? Will he retire? You know, will they play in that nickel slot corner? Who knows? I don't know. So we'll see what happens. So it's going to be an interesting year, but I was really sad to see Ricky Jean Francois go in the way he went, you know, the Skins just don't get it right. You know, bring the guy in, tell him, hey, look, you know, we didn't appreciate that comment. You know, do a no comment in the future. Give him some training, you know, because I can tell you he's made a whole lot of quotes where he was spot on and he didn't throw the team under the bus. So that's it on Ricky Jean Francois. Hey, we got a great guest today. Great guest. So there is one team in D.C. that's not dysfunctional. There is one, and that is the D.C. Divas, and their general manager, Rich Daniels, coming in to join us. I think they got practice this morning. That's right. The ladies play in the spring. The guys play in the fall. So looking forward to having a friend of the show, Rich Daniel. He is our first three-peat guest, but we're looking forward to having him right after the break. So we'll be right back. Chuck, take us to break. I tell you something. I play that song every show. It's perfect for the show because the show is about the business of sports and it's about money. But if you ever just listen to the lyrics of what Chuck's saying, you know, don't want no wealth and fame, just want enough to play my game. I mean, dude's a genius, a genius. So we got, we are going to continue to talk football. And coming to the show, general manager extraordinaire, friend of the show, and first-time three-peat guest, Rich Daniel of the DC Divas. Rich, are you there?
Well, Coach, I am excited to be the first three-peat guest, and I hope that that is a harbinger of things to come for the upcoming season as we're trying to three-peat with the Divas for the first time in team history. League history.
Well, you know, you're reading my mind, Rich, because that's the first thing I wanted to get into was congratulations, man. Back-to-back champs. I think I shot you over a text just saying congrats real quick, but I want to formally congratulate you and Paul Hamlin, the owner, and Allison Fisher, the head coach, and everybody, Allison Hamlin, the quarterback, everybody for just – that is an amazing accomplishment. I know personally how hard that is to do.
I think two things. One, I know it only gets more challenging for two reasons. One, if you've done it twice, you have that internal challenge of how you would do it again, how you'll do it better, or if you will do it again, right? You have all those things going on with different people.
That's right.
And then you have all mm-hmm. the challenges that are brought to you by the opposition, who, after two seasons of us winning the championship, surely want to have their opportunity to do it. And so we'll get everybody's best game, and we'll have the toughest schedule again in the league. I think that's the fourth year in a row we've had the toughest schedule in the league. Massey ratings put us there, and we'll have to earn it. So that, you know, it's very difficult to do, but it's also very rewarding.
Well, I want to talk about that reward because, to me, you got the highest reward other than kissing the trophy. You guys met a guy named Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle. Is this a – what in the world?
Well, yeah, you know, when I still see that picture, right, when I look at that picture and I think about the half hour or so that we waited – you know, and we practiced getting on the podium and, you know, lining up and all the things so that it could be an efficient, right, photo op. And then when they came in across the room, there was maybe 20 yards between us and the entrance. And to all of us to be on the riser, we just broke out in cheers, you know, and applause and thanks and whoop whoop. And, I mean, we were having, you know, a ball and big smiles as they came across. And then the way that they spent time and interacted with everyone, we both know there's a tight schedule. You have a certain amount of time. We're going to take a picture. You got to go to the next thing. But I'm telling you, they extended the window for us. He shook everybody's hand. She got hugs from everyone and vice versa. And the time spent was genuine. And you're right. When you look at, as Chuck Brown talked about, you know, wealth and fame, well, that does not come. You may bring some of that to women's football, but no one is yet receiving that really yet from women's football. So where your rewards come are as a competitor, as an athlete, as a coach or administrator, whatever it may be, you have your personal best that you're after. Then you have the collective best as you're surrounded by people that feel the same way or in some cases feel stronger than you do, right? About the whole mission
right.
and the opportunity. And then you toss in someone, you know, the outside recognition of respect from an NFL team or player, or in this case, the leader of the free world, which I think you're right. I don't
yeah,
think
that's
there
a
is
deal.
A, you can't really top that in terms of reward, but also understand if that didn't happen, even if it did, that's still a part of the picture of the everyday reward of getting to go to practice. Other people don't get to practice. Playing in games or being at games, being part of those, other people don't get that opportunity. And there's a lot of things along the way that I think we all kind of compound daily but don't necessarily take account of fully, of the rewards you get during the process, not just something you get when it's over, right? The whole idea that you have to complete the season before you get a reward, or only one team gets a reward at the end of the year, that's limiting and not fully taking into account the whole picture.
Well, you know, Rich, it's funny because, you know, I was on your website preparing for the show, and by the way, it looks great. It looks absolutely great. And one of the reasons why I always thought there was some diva magic, as you guys call it, and that's the favor that you guys get, is you really do a good job of being a historian and chronicling every step of the way. And I think a new way that you all are doing it, I'm really blown away by it, is this DC Diva Hall of Fame. And I'm looking at the list of people. Coach Cooper is the only coach in it. I coached with him. I mean, he brought me into Diva Land. And so, you know, and then when I look at some of the players, Tessa Nelson, I made her, she played for me and coached with me. Vicky Lucas, the finest football player I've ever seen. You know, Daddy Nat, I didn't get a chance to meet him, but, you know, the great trainer. And then you got the others who all played for me. I mean, this thing is really, really good. Tell me about how you guys kind of capture this history. Because if you're a rookie coming in, you got to kind of – you got to do it the Diva way. And even the coach had to do it the Diva way. How do you – who does all this, Rich? Who keeps all these stats and names? And is that you?
I have my 2 cents in it, but I'm telling you, Neil Rosendahl has – our vice president of communications, Neil – is the husband of Ashley Rosendahl, who played center for us, offensive line, for most of a 2-year period, one of which we won our first championship in 2015, the back-to-backs. And so he's been around for several years, and he is an author, has written several books, is an Iowa historian, which is where he is from, and is really, as you have seen with the Hall of Fame, is one indication of how thorough right, that he has approached this in a thorough manner, and the way that he's executed it has been really quite something. And he's also published the first ever encyclopedia of women's football. This first edition came out a little over a year ago. He just updated it recently online. So you're talking about results and rosters and information on games from all the different leagues, from all the different players that he could gather. And we're talking a 400-page book, right, that will continue to be updated with some of the older information maybe being found for certain teams, but certainly the newer information as we move forward being more up-to-date and being rather easy to access, a little bit more so than the early 2000 stuff. And he's just done an incredible job, not only for our Hall of Fame, which will be going into a third incarnation this year. First of all, you know this in life, when you're surrounded by great people, in this case, like teammates, players, coaches, our owner. I mean, there's a lot of people, as you know, that are involved that make it all work. You have to, I think, find ways to recognize that and respect it, not only yourself, while we're looking for it from the other people, like the president and the NFL and, you know, fans and all the rest of people you want in the media to pay attention. You have to pay attention yourself first and foremost, maybe,
right,
is the way to look at
right.
it. And I think that's what we've done, is trying to collect ourselves, not just know that we've experienced it and how incredible it was and is, but finding ways, metrics, right? People are on stats. The fantasy world we're in now is all about the stats. You know, people need to see that kind of data, and they need to see those pictures and that older video that now looks a little bit grainy and sort of, you know, old school, right? Back in the early 2000s, they need to see those things to help better understand how we got here. And then in this case, you know, we're Divas 3.0. Allison Fisher coached the last 5 seasons. She won 2 national championships. Now she's helping in the administration and the front office side of things to help continue the team and grow it. And then Greg Gaskins, who's been our offensive line coach the last several years, has stepped in as our head coach. And then I know one thing you like, you mentioned Tessa Nelson, is that we have more former players coaching for us than any other team in the world. And we just added two more this year, right? And two more on the staff this year that were former players now. So not only our head coach the last five seasons, but, you know, the majority of our staff are people that played the game for us, learned from coaches like Coop, yourself, you know, Gaskins, Bennett, on and on and on of the great people that have been involved and helped grow the game. And now they're doing it. And, you know, that's fabulous to see.
That is absolutely great. So two things. One, you got an upcoming season where you're going to try and three-peat this thing. I got two asks. Ask one is, tell us how people can get involved, come out and see you 3P. How do you do that? Where do you play? All that good stuff. And then where do we find the greatest play in women's football, in football history, in my opinion, which is the miracle at the militia. And you know what I'm talking about. Tara Stevenson running a touchdown back on the last play of the game in 2009. Where in the world is that documented? But first tell us, how do we see you?
The two things are see online and then see in person. So online is the first thing you can do because you can't see a home game yet. So online, if you go to DC Divas Football, the YouTube site, you should be able to scroll back. There's a couple hundred videos on there. I'm thinking that 2009 return is on there. I'm pretty sure it's on there, Coach, because as you said, if it's not the play, it's considered one of the greatest plays I think I've ever seen in any football game anywhere, period. So that's one place to see us, period. That's a great place to see us. If you want to see us in person this year, first home game is April 22nd. We'll take on Boston, and then April 29th we host Chicago. So two great rivals to the best teams in the country back-to-back to start in April, and we'll be at Lee High School in Springfield, which we have played several of our playoff games the last couple of years there, as we have tried over the years to play in D.C., which we've done at Eastern and Coolidge, and also play in Maryland and Virginia to move it around a bit and to have ourselves, you know, exposed to different crowds and different groups of people and get them a chance to see what is. You know, we're still one of the best teams in the world at this, right? And there are other great teams.
I would agree with that.
Boston, right? Boston, Chicago. I mean, good gracious, Dallas. We played them twice in a row in the championship. I expect they will be back again in that game. The question is, will we be, right? Pittsburgh. I mean, on and on. There's so many teams, all of our schedule, Atlanta, Carolina. There's no easy games. And nothing but challenge ahead, which I guess if you won back-to-back, you would expect that. Part of the reason,
that's right.
You know, you don't want to step back in terms of things. So we need to step up, and it's really Divas 3.0. But Lee High School, you can get your season tickets now at dcdivas.com. And, again, we got about a month to go, 2 weeks to go before the opener, and we'll have practice today and keep it going.
Man. Rich, that's outstanding, man. That is really, really outstanding. And I'll tell you what, you know, they say the hardest working man in show business. you got to be in that top 10 because when I remember working with you, you were filming, you were taping, whatever you had to do, putting seeds down for grass. I mean, whatever you had to do, you were getting it done, selling hot dogs, whatever it was. The only thing you didn't do was call plays, and I appreciated that for you. You let coaches coach. And we appreciate that. Hey, Rich, let me ask you real quick. What happened with Scott McLuhan, general manager to general manager? What happened?
Well, I read, as you do, that it seems like a little bit more is out there in terms of what we think has happened, right? Because we've never really heard Scott McLuhan say what has happened, nor have we really, other than a statement or so from the Skins, we haven't really heard anything from them either, and I don't expect we will. right, for a period of time. They'll let the lawyers do what they do, and it'll be worked out. What is a shame, I think, for any lifelong Washington football fan like myself, right, who covered the team, worked for the team for a period of time, rooted for the team my entire life, and is appreciative of that team for recognizing us as national champions the last 2 years, right? So there's a big picture
there.
Wow,
yeah.
But at the same time, I can't understand it. I really don't. You hire a football guy who, like all of us, is not a perfect human being, right, and has challenges, and he has, I think, overall brought you, you know, the opportunity to look more like a football team the last two seasons, to be on a competitive level that we hadn't been on in some time. And he's a part of that. So how much credit, how much of the, you know, blame, all of that, you can, people can knock that around all they want. My bottom line is he's been part of that success and clearly a big part of that success. And when you start to dramatize your own organization and seemingly at the – you don't seem to mind negative publicity. It does not resonate. It's exactly. It is like the P.T. Barnum school of all – you know, any publicity is good. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It does not matter because we all talk about it. It's in the news. But unfortunately, the subject of it is something that – I don't find enjoyable. I don't gravitate to it. In fact, I gravitate away from it, if anything. And, you know, somebody asked me, he's like, what if they called you? And I said, well, we laughed about it, first of all. I said, if you look at the Divas record, which, again, I'm a small part of it, clearly our record over the last decade plus has been way outweighed anything they've done. But it's a different world.
Two decades. You could go ahead and throw in that second deck.
Okay.
Go ahead and do that. Yeah.
All right. You know, but and that's sad because again, that's my team. That's my team, right?
Right.
But at the same time, honesty tells you, hey, it's people have not coached or administered there for long stretches.
That's right.
And
the problem.
It's you know, they always said it's not your hires, it's your fires. Well, if you have that much turnover, unfortunately, I think neither one of those is doing its thing. You know,
right. Well, that's true. And especially when you look at their hires are getting paid an awful lot of money. I mean, you know, I don't know what McLuhan's contract was, but I got to believe that it was way up the food chain. If the Redskins paid Terrell Pryor $8 million for a year, then I'm sure he's got well over what the normal general manager makes. So, wow. Well, hey, if they do call you, call me. And I'll be glad to help.
I will certainly need counsel if that call were to come.
Man, Rich, hey, look, I'm going to try and make it out there for one of those games this year. Maybe that Boston one. I still don't like them, but maybe Pittsburgh. I definitely don't like them. And and hey, wish everybody the best. And just keep doing what you're doing, man. You guys are the best football team in the world in the women's game and the best football team in D.C., period. So keep up the good work, man. Keep it up.
Well, I appreciate that. At the same time, I want to recognize our league grew to 68 teams this year, right? There are more teams playing than ever before. There's another team in D.C. Some of our former players own and run and administer. Former coaches of ours are the head coach and help, you know, coach the team. Baltimore, Nighthawks, same thing, moved to our league this year. They're coached by former Divas and have players that have played with us before. So the game has grown, and it continues to do that. And I think that is one of the positive things, no matter where you sit or what colors you wear or what town you're in, that you have to back up a second and realize that that's been a positive of the overall experience and growth of not only the Divas, but the game in general.
Man, we appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on. Thanks for those kind words. We appreciate that. And we'll see you down the road. Rich Daniel, DC Divas. Hey, listen, folks, we've got some technical problems here with our board. So we're going to have to postpone Super Referee Craig Muckle until next week, and I know he's chomping at the bit to release his final four. So we'll definitely put that on the website so you can see Craig's picks and see my picks as well. And we appreciate you all listening and joining us, and we'll be back same time next week with all the bugs taken care of on the Extra Points Radio Show. So as always, even when you have technical difficulties, the extra point is up, and it is always.